All right. Hello, everyone. John here again with the End of Effort podcast. Today, I wanted to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart. It all is, but specifically this topic, because I think it's a really challenging subject for some, and others, they just can't wait to hear about this area because they struggle so much. And that's the area of wealth and finances. I wanted to title this particular message, Effortless Wealth. And I'll explain what that means. I can just hear somebody in their intellectual mind saying, effortless wealth? How does that happen? Did you just get a hand-me-down from a wealthy relative or what, Johnny boy? No, we will talk about what I mean by that. I think it's a very interesting subject now that we are actually moving and living and having our being in oneness with Christ in the new covenant, in the new wineskin. We always have to keep that in mind, friends, is that whenever we're looking at anything that pertains to life, and you are a professor of Christ, you profess Christ, in other words, not the religious Christ, but you profess to be a follower of Christ. I think any time that we do, we have to look beyond the lens of religion, because that's not what he died for. Okay, he died for human skin. He died for humanity. He died for you and me. And whether that has a religious lens or a religious covering or banner over it or not, take religion aside, and Christ died for humanity, global humanity that ever will be, ever was, and will ever come to be. All right. So always keep that in mind when we're actually living and moving and having our being in the finished work of what he did on the cross. It's a big, big deal. And anytime somebody says that, well, you know, they start throwing Old Testament scriptures out, they start throwing these things around as if they still apply to our very lives today, in the sense that, please listen closely, in the sense that we don't live in the Old Testament, we learn from the Old Testament. We live in the new and learn from the old. There is a big chasm in between the two. Now, people will argue with me on that, but the reality is, when you look at it in context to your own life today, in the 21st century, in the time span, the time frame we're living in, things are much different than they were back in the Old Testament and even in the New. Okay, so that's why everything has to be in context in your relationship with the Word, capital W, which is Christ. Jesus, okay, Yeshua. So when we're looking at Old Testament, New Testament, Old Covenant, New Covenant, a lot of people will say, well, they're all one and the same. It's all God's Word. Well, let's talk about that, because even though Scripture was inspired, all 66 books, it's not the whole canon of Scripture. Okay, a lot of that, and I don't have time to go into it on this message, but it does play into what I'm going to be speaking about, because if you just take and extrapolate one or two scriptures out of the old and stake your entire life on it, well, you have to look at it through the new in the lens of your relationship with the Word of God that lives and dwells on the inside of you in a real person called Holy Spirit. Okay, so Council of Nicaea, Constantine, all back 300 AD approximate. If you study that out, you'll see that it was very biased in the way that the lens of Constantine and those surrounding him went in. The priests of the day, the order of the day that he set up actually as power and authority in the land, was to say this, is to say that we see it through our paradigm. We see it through our viewpoint. We see it through our lens of religion. And we're going to exclude some folks. So what they did is they went in and took away crucial and vital scriptures and books out of that Bible, out of the Word, out of the scriptural context, in other words, removed them entirely. And some of those books, you know, St. James, or St. Thomas, excuse me, and the Book of Enoch and some other things that were vital, okay, they were removed. Now, people, again, will disagree with me, and that's fine. We all have our viewpoints. But what I've come to learn is something from my relationship with Jesus himself, is that there's a lot of elements missing that we need to take heed to in when he starts speaking to our heart. In other words, the Lord can speak something to us that has no scriptural context to it. And I hear people say all the time, well-meaning believers will say, well, you got to have a scripture for everything. You got to, you know, it's got to be backed up in the word. Okay, really? Where's the iPhone in the Bible? Where is all of the scriptures that walks me through my daily life with my wife? And you know, on the flip side, your husband, okay? If you're in a relationship, where are all the scriptures? Yeah, there's references to it, but it doesn't walk you through every minute of every day. It doesn't walk you through what car you should buy, or, you know, what house, what geographical location you should be in, and what job, what career, what calling, okay? Not specifically. It doesn't mention that. And that's why, again, I'm going to keep referring to the word of relationship, okay? He is, he is our life, and he lives and dwells and moves and has and is being on the inside of you just as much as you do with him. You're one, okay? Religion and those that lay fast to saying things like, well, it's got to, everything's got to be backed by scripture. Maybe their understanding is darkened to the degree that they don't really see that Jesus, or even know or even think that Jesus would even care about the next minute of their life and speak to them about restaurants, speak to them about, you know, hey, packing up and moving to the next street over, speak to them about their emotional conflicts with their neighbor or their spouse. Doesn't even think that he has time to engage with them about their finances on an everyday basis. It, you know, doesn't think that he cares about the overdraft fee, that you're just in some full-blown sin and you're going to reap a whirlwind of bad things because you went overdraft. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't talk about that. So when it comes to scriptural context and, you know, living out of the old versus the new, you have to keep everything in mind that he is an everyday, current, modern Jesus living on the inside of you by his spirit, called HS, the big HS, Holy Spirit. Okay. And then surrounding you inside and out with the kingdom of God reality. That's a breath away. It's in our breath. So you just can't see it with your naked eye, right? So anyway, having said all of that, I don't want to get too deep into that whole discussion right now, because that is saved for a series, which we will tackle at another date. But right now, I wanted to just keep that in mind. Okay, keep that in mind when we're reading out of Deuteronomy 8, which is where I'm going now. Sometimes people, again, take these scriptures and say, see, God's speaking to me today. This is for today. Well, it very well could be if he's illuminating that to you today, and then he'll work through it in your relational conversations every day through a new paradigm revelation. In other words, learn from the old, live in the new. What is the new? It's the new wineskin of who you are in him and him and you, the oneness, the dance. Okay. If we lived out of the old, let me just put it this way. If we lived out of the old, certain people groups would not be living today. It would be a sin for certain people groups that live in a certain lifestyle to go ahead and be taken care of, if you know what I'm saying. Judgment would reign on every sin that you commit. That's why the priest went in and they had the little bell and the rope tied to their ankle, because if they weren't clean, baby, they were toast on the Holy of Holies, okay? Yearly going in and toting. And if there was anything tainted in them or upon them, they were fried like a cookie. And I mean a burnt cookie. And again, we don't have time to get into that, because listen, Jesus has never been your enemy. God has never been your enemy. That is a fallacy. He's always loved us from eternity to eternity, and he will continue to love us. Now, it's the goodness of God that leads us to change. It's not the hammer of God. It's not it's not the words that say you'll be judged. Judge not lest you be judged. Or in other words, so what some people take by that is go ahead and pluck out your eye just because you lusted after somebody. Go ahead and dig it out. Go ahead and throw it away. Well, if you did that, you wouldn't have any eyeballs or limbs or toes or fingers or anything else. Might as well lop your head off, both of them. You know what I'm saying? So it's like if you're not careful, then you will interpret things through the lens of the old covenant. There was a lot of judgment going on there. And again, it's our sin. All right. It's our sin that causes us to reap certain things. It's not God standing there with a hammer. He never has been. Anyhow, people would disagree with me on that as well, but that's okay. You gotta study your relationship with the Lord and then look at the scripture through that lens of relational activity with the Lord. See, if you just study scripture and you have no spiritual context of your daily walk, then of course you're going to look at scripture through the lens of your analytical equations, your mindset that's been trained in religious things, been trained through your denominational hand-me-downs, the traditional stances that we take. And that's why we have so many wars. That's why we have so many people hating on one another. Okay, Deuteronomy 8. Now I'm going to read this in context of the power that we have resonant in us already to walk wealth out. And I'll explain that as we go. But I want to read this because so many people misinterpret certain things as it pertains to how do we get wealth and should we just sit around and wait for things to drop on us and what do I do in business and, should I just wait for doors to open and or should I just plow through and just make it happen, get her done, you know? So all of these things we're going to walk through right here in Deuteronomy 8. And of course, in subsequent messages, because there's too much to talk about in one. Deuteronomy 8, starting in the first verse, and this is out of the Message translation. Don't throw stones at me if you don't like the Message and you're a King James only survivor. Just get over it for a minute, okay, please? I say that in love. All right, Deuteronomy 8, keep and live out the entire commandment that I'm commanding you today so that you'll live and prosper and enter and own the land that God promised to your ancestors. Remember every road that God led you on for those 40 years in the wilderness, pushing you to your limits, testing you so that he would know what you were made of, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He put you through hard times. He made you go hungry. Then he fed you with manna, something neither you nor your parents knew anything about, so you would learn that men and women don't live by bread alone. We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Your clothes didn't wear out and your feet didn't blister. Those 40 years, you learned deep in your heart that God disciplines you in the same way as a father disciplines a child. Now, let's stop right there for a minute. Just reading that from an Old Testament paradigm, meaning an Old Testament mindset and a religious one, what you're going to think is of God there is, oh my gosh, what kind of God would do that to me? That's not a very loving God. He would push me to my limits. He would test me, would make me go hungry and learn God's ways and his discipline and his judgment, so to speak. Listen, if you're already feeling bad about yourself and you don't love yourself and you're already feeling judged, then you're going to feel even more what? Judged from this. What he's really saying here, and the translators didn't really know how to get this out because they were in their own religious paradigm, even though they were inspired by Holy Spirit. Remember something. Just because you're inspired by Holy Spirit doesn't mean you have all the junk worked out of your soul that you've been trained by. That includes denominationalism. That includes even all the good stuff that's out there, all right? Remember, there's a lot of junk inside of us that God is continually working out through our childhood woundings, the egoic stance, and religion that piles on top of that. And depending on who we were trained by in religion and the denomination, then we're going to see through that lens. That's just the way it is, guys. That's just the way it is. You are going to see it a certain way. And again, that's why we have arguments and debates that go on for miles and miles and miles on places like Facebook. And everybody has their opinion. Everybody has their paradigmal stance. Everybody wants to stand in their own understanding and they don't want to budge because after all, I have the truth. And my pastor said so. My apostle, my chief priest, they all said this was truth. So therefore, I'm not going to study it out by myself with the Lord's help and in being influenced by him in my relationship or just study out by myself through scripture. No, I have to get everything from the priest, the hierarchical stance that trickles down, the trickle down effect. If we think that way and we believe that way, then of course we're going to feel judged because we're living in survival mode. All right. What I suggest to you in this passage, and we're going to read some more, is that he's talking about the difference between, and I can back this up in the New Covenant in Galatians 5 and other places where he talks about the difference between the spirit and the flesh. I like to say the difference between the real you, spirit, because you're made of God, you're made of a part of God, you're taken out of God, you're a part of him, you're a piece of him, so to speak. We're one with him and we came from him, our spirit came from him, that's where we're made in the image and likeness of God. He is spirit, so are we. That's the real you. Versus the flesh / ego man. So in essence, what he's saying here, friends, let's reread this a little bit. Deuteronomy 8, keep and live out the entire commandment that I'm commanding you today so that you'll live and prosper and enter and own the land that God promised your ancestors. Remember every road that God led you on for these 40 years in the wilderness. Ego pushing you to the limits, ego testing you so that you would see what you're really made of, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So what he's saying here is your ego will push and force and test you at every moment of your journey. But your spirit man is rising to the occasion, the real you. The real you is rising to the occasion and saying, wait a minute. I know what I'm made of. So I am going to be in love with the Lord. I am going to walk closely with him. But the ego is always trying to push something and force something. Here's where the difference is, guys. Ego has always been a part of mankind. They just didn't know how to deal with it in the old covenant because the empowerment of the Holy Spirit was not resident in them. Remember the book of Acts says, and Peter and Jesus himself, you know, when in the book of Acts they're talking about, look, the Spirit will is upon you, but the Spirit will be in you. Jesus said, I will send the Comforter to not only be upon you, but be in you, to be one with you. That's the difference because of the finished work. Before that, the Holy Spirit just came upon them, empowered them. God came upon them, empowered them. They really didn't have a grid to decipher between the two, rightly to divide the truth, but between what's true of the authentic spirit man and what's ego, what's the flesh man. The truth to divide that, because the Holy Spirit is always empowering us and leading us into what? All truth. It's the ego that is tested, and then it will rebel when it's pressed upon if the spirit man is not rising to the occasion and saying, this is really who I am, so I don't need to listen to ego anymore. This really takes the punch out of what you think God is like in his judgments. Okay? Remember, it was the sin of ego that got them into trouble. It was the sin of their own will and their own ego and their own pride that got them into trouble. It wasn't God sitting there saying, well, I'm making you do this, I'm making you do that, I'm going to discipline you to the point to where you're going to submit to me as an autocratic dictator of a God. No, it's never been that way. And I can show you time and time again where it's not. It is the sin that is resonant in the egoic nature of man to just go ahead and yield to it. Proof of the pudding is with Adam. You back it all the way up to Adam. Look, it was his choice and his belief system to say, oh, I have a free will. I can go ahead and yield to the egoic nature, my selfish area, my selfish ambition here. I can yield to it and go ahead and take it because I am God-like in that sense. I have a choice. I have a free will, but I'm letting ego take the show. I'm letting ego run with it instead of my own spirit man and who I've made of, which is part of God. That's why he calls us little G's, little gods. We're not God himself. We're not the creator of all things, but we are in joint partnership. We are co-heirs. We are good friends. Jesus is our brother and our friend that's closer than a brother. We're one with the Spirit of God. We're one with Yahweh himself. Okay. We're one with the dance of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Godhead. that dwells in our bodies. So when you see things like this that the translators just couldn't make sense of, it was like, well, wait a minute, God put me through hard times? Or was it my ego giving me a hard time because it's fueled with effort versus the effortless ability of my spirit man and who I'm made of? Okay. So God putting me through times, listen, God, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God may lead us to the next pasture, and there may be some dead patches through that grass way. Okay. That's the adversity that we encounter in life because we live in a fallen world, but it's also a quote test, if you will, to see and to gauge where we're at in our ego versus our reality of the real, true, genuine inner man that we are, that we're made of. Okay. Spirit versus flesh, spirit versus ego. Okay. Now it's true that, it's not that he put us through hard times. It's just that, look, when we walk out of captivity, we are still have a survival mentality like they did in Egypt. We still have a egoic survival mentality, fight, flight, or freeze. We want what we want, and we want it now. Even though they are enslaved, they were getting fed well, okay? They were getting taken care of like a communist party would. Go ahead and depend on the government to take care of everything for you. Here you go. We're going to hand everything out. We're going to hand the same meals out to everybody. We're going to cookie cutter it, and you're going to be dependent upon the government. And that's what was going on in Egypt when they were enslaved for 450 plus years. Okay. So they're enslaved in Egypt, the children of Israel. They're used to a certain mentality. Guys, you got to think about this. Enslaved in a certain mentality that's steeped in survival mechanisms. And so therefore ego runs the show because after all, I have to fend for myself. God's not going to do it. We've been in captivity for so long. Say, let's fast forward to your life. Okay, maybe you came out of the world and you got saved 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Okay, you came into a revelation of who Christ is, in other words. And you met this love that you've never known before. You awakened. You awakened to your true, genuine self in oneness with Him is what you did. Okay, but for all the religious listeners, I just have to say that in context. You awakened, all right? Can we agree on that? It's not new age. It's just reality. Okay. We live in the new age of the new wineskin of Christ himself. How's that for you new agers? All right. So anyway, so we come through this process of all of our woundings, all of our pain, all of our childhood development, and every piece of baggage that comes with that. And we have a certain mentality. It's fight, flight, or freeze all the time. It's schizophrenia. Fight, flight, freeze, fight, flight, freeze, fight, run, freeze, fight, run, freeze. And we keep doing this in our mind over and over and over again to the point of insanity. That's what the definition of insanity is, doing the same thing over and over again, hoping for different results. You've heard that definition before. So look at it in the context of children of Israel, okay? Same mentality, but you're talking generations now. Generation after generation after generation of people that are steeped, and it's embedded in their psyche, it's embedded in their soul that they live out of survival mentalities. So then you go, you walk out into the wilderness, and it's like, whoa, I'm living by faith now. I'm living by what? You mean God is where is God at? I mean, I'm not getting fed the filet mignon. I'm having to eat manna. What is that? I'm having to eat quail when I was used to the ribeye steaks. My ego is showing and I don't like it. See, this ego fights everything. It doesn't welcome the wide open expanse of who you really are, the bigness of your eternal being. Okay, we're getting to the wealth part, guys. This is all so important to talk about before we get there. Okay, then he fed you with manna. Now, what is manna? Manna is this nutritious, light, wafer-like material that does not clog your colon, and it's more of a vegan-type food that's filled with minerals, filled with all of the substance that you need. See, but ego wants you to have the pizza and the pie and the milkshake, okay? But he's saying, look, I'm giving you the sustaining power of my presence. I'm giving you a fuel that you knew not of, but it will actually make your immune system strong. It will keep your health vibrant. That's why he says, continue on. Then he fed you with manna, something neither you nor your parents knew anything about. There it is. See, that's the spirit fuel versus your parents. You and your parents were steeped in ego and survival mechanisms. So you didn't know anything about this. Then he goes on, we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Your clothes didn't wear out and your feet didn't blister. Well, there you go. There's contentment. God gives you what you need when you need it. And see, ego is always screaming for the more. Even if you're in business, friends, even if you're going and doing what you love and enjoying it and you're just crushing it through creativity, not crushing it through ego and striving 15 hours a day because you're trying to make some money. There's a big difference there. And we'll explain that as we go on, what I mean by that. And he goes on to say, you learn deep in your heart that God disciplines you in the same ways a father disciplines his child. Now, this is good because this is backed up in Hebrews. The father disciplines those whom he loves. There's the old versus the new. Okay, he disciplines us. But a lot of times, see, out of our survival mechanisms and our abuse that we endured as children, whatever degree that is, we think it's a belt coming out and him smacking us every time we blow it. It's not what he's talking about here. See, the discipline of the Father is the goodness of God that leads us to change. So what is he doing? He's always presenting the good side of him. And that's always the love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, the gentleness, the self-control, the long-suffering. That's always resonant in us because that's what Holy Spirit is producing in us, okay? And so when that butts up against, the nine fruit butt up against the ego does not like it. And so the ego is going to react and say, oh, well, I'm being abused, or God is too harsh. When in reality, friends, he is gentle, he is kind, he is loving, he's peaceful, he's joyful. That's the nature of Jesus in the finished work. It's been God's nature all along. But we paint it because of religious mindset and religious interpretations and transcribers in a different light because that's their paradigm when they were transcribing scripture, when they were translating it. So, I'm going to continue. Deuteronomy 8, 6. So it's paramount that you keep the commandments of God, your God, walk down the roads he shows you and reverently respect him. Hey, that's good, right? Keep the commandments, love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength. You can't do that in your own strength, but he does it through you. He empowers you to do it, right? So that's good. Walk down the road, you're following him in these footsteps. God is about to bring you into a good land. Here we go. Here's the land of who you are. This is not what you get or a material good so much as it is who you are and the substance you're made of. So think about it in that context. God is about to bring you past ego into a good land, a land with brooks and rivers, springs and lakes, streams out of the hills and through the valleys. It's a land of wheat and barley, of figs and pomegranates, oils and honey, wealth. In other words, wealth is bringing you into wealth in every sense of the word. Tangible wealth and inner wealth, okay? It's land where you'll never go hungry. Always food on the table and a roof over your head. It's a land where you'll get iron out of rocks and mine copper from the fields. Those are gems and diamonds and good stuff right there. But how do you mine out copper? How do you mine it out of the rocks? We'll get to that. Verse 10, after a meal satisfied, bless your God, for the good land he has given you. He has given you. And this is what the vastness of your spirit does, and effortless wealth is. Things began to be drawn to you and I when we engage in our spirit by surrendering ego each and every day and opening ourselves up to the reality of who we really are, which is enormous. Now, let me say it this way. Oftentimes I talk with people and they go, man, I'm starting this business. I just want to make enough to make my rent. I just want to make enough to buy a house and just to pay that mortgage payment for the next 30 years. I just want to make enough money, you know, to take care of, wipe out some bills. And then, you know, I'm not asking for much. Okay. What's happening there when we make those kind of statements? Nothing innately evil in that, right? And we think it's humble. We think it's humility, but really what it is, it's an egoic statement that says, oh, I'm small and I'm speaking out of my ego. My mentality is showing. My survival mindset is revealing itself right now by me telling you I just need to make enough money to pay my rent. And really what that is false humility. It's saying that ego is still leading my life. It's still leading me in the path. It's still leading me in sweat and toil and stress. It's still leading me in my survival mentality of fight, flight, and freeze because I have to scrap for my orphan lifestyle. I have to scrap for every dime because daddy didn't give it to me, or I didn't get it from my parents, or I didn't see anything God helping me all along, so therefore I've got to help myself. God helps those who helps himself, kind of thing, right? So what the spirit man does, though, the spirit is always saying, I'm here, I'm available anytime. And the spirit is butting up against the ego, and the ego is butting up against the spirit. And these are the ones that are at war with one another, these two sides, opposing sides, in Galatians 5, 16 through 23, where it talks about the difference between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit. Okay? It's just a natural thing that happens in the inside of us because of our fallen state. Okay? It's true that we are risen with Christ. We have resurrection power. It's true, we're risen. But we still have some things to work through in our ego because our dirt man is fallen. Okay, so he's saying here that there's a magnetism that happens because of the enormity of who we are, and it's always trying to bring things to us. In other words, love in us is always loving on us and bringing good things to our lives. The problem with ego is it says it's not enough. I should have the brand new car by now. I should have a name in the stars, all lit up in stars right now on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I should be a pro athlete by now. I should be a best-selling author by now. I should be a worship leader that is being pulled on to go to the nations everywhere and have invitations coming out my ears. I should be the well-known speaker by now that's being invited by every well-known preacher on the planet. See? It's never satisfied. Ego is never satisfied. And the struggle is real. It's always there. Okay. But this is why it's so important, friends, to silence ourselves as much as we can each day to start our day that way. And then wait before the Lord. You're not wanting, you're not needing anything. You're just sitting there in silence in reception mode. And allowing him to reveal things that come up in your spirit, man, so that you can see them right in front of you. Oftentimes what those will be, and again, I've said this so many times before, but I need to repeat it for the sake of context here when it dealing with wealth. Maybe he'll bring something up as you silence yourself and turn your mind off. Just take your mind and set it on the table and surrender. It may take a while, okay? It may take 10, 15, 20 minutes, a half hour, an hour, okay? To move past your mind going crazy on you saying, I've got to do the dishes. I've got to go to work. I've got to, you know, this is worthless. It's not helping. It's not doing anything for me. Yeah, ego is going to shout at you and say that for a while. But the longer you sit there and put your mind on the table, keep putting it on the table so that it stays there, so to speak, metaphorically speaking, so that your spirit man clears the way through all the sludge of ego so that you can start seeing clearly what Holy Spirit is bringing up in front of you. And then he may show you things like this. Did you ever think that maybe I don't want you to work so hard and bust your backside? Holy Spirit would never say that, John. Well, whatever. Okay, let's do it a little more gently. He speaks to me that way sometimes. But anyway, he could say, okay. Did you ever think that I don't want you to sweat it out so much? Did you ever think I don't want you to, quote, work so hard that I'm love, I am love, and you're made of me, you're made of the same substance? And so what I'm showing you and illuminating to your life is if you just surrender to the bigness of who you are each and every day, then I'll reveal a better way. I'll take you on a shortcut. So say, for example, how's that practically speaking? Practically speaking, what that means is, say you are starting a business, okay? Say you have it in your heart to start a business. And you are blasting through working hard every day and you are creating and you're creating and you're trying to figure this out and figure that out and you're trying to get ahead by putting all these advertising things out and you're spending all this money and then your bills are getting behind and you're getting frustrated because why isn't anybody coming to your site? Why isn't anybody buying any of your goods on Facebook? Why isn't anybody coming and listening to your podcast? Why isn't anybody coming and inviting you to speak or to worship or coming inviting you to come and do the big business deal? Why isn't anybody buying your goods and all these things, right? Your ego is going to continually say that. And Holy Spirit's going to illuminate something when we sit silent before Him, past frustration of ego, past frustration, past the confusion, and you sit there and you wait for it to illuminate. He is always faithful, friends. I'm telling you, He's always faithful. He could give you one flash of a name to call. He could give you a prompting of something to do a little bit differently that eliminates 6 months worth of hard sweat and toil and effort. See, this is the supernatural lifestyle. He gives you secrets in that moment, secrets in those times to take shortcuts. We're not talking about shortcuts of excellence. That's different. What we're talking about is time-saving supernatural techniques. And the list goes on and on. But here's where you have to discern. I want to say this first and foremost. Here's where it's necessary to discern. Are you doing your business venture? Are you launching out in a creative idea? Are you moving forward in what you think or believe is your calling versus who you really are in all of your authenticity? In other words, are you moving forward in something that's out of survival mode to try and get a few bucks to pay your rent? And you know it inside. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows what that is, what that feels like. Because it'll have frustration and confusion as its wonder twins.
Okay.
You'll always be frustrated when you're out of alignment that way. But again, no condemnation, right? It's all about waiting long enough to see what really makes you come alive on the inside. Each and every day, and get really honest with yourself. Be authentic and genuine with yourself. Have those conversations with those that love you and say, you know what? Are we doing this just for money? Are we doing this out of the space of who we really are? Now, the big difference is to your ego is, well, what your ego will say is, well, how are we going to make any money doing that? Well, we got to make money. We got to go where their money is. And I hear this all the time from Christians. I hear this all the time from people in general. They say, well, I'm going to go be a nurse, or I'm going to go be a doctor, or I'm going to get into stocks, or I'm going to get into trades, or I'm going to get into, selling tacos, or I'm going to get into this or that because there's good money there. How often have you ever heard that in the mirror? Or how often have you ever heard that from a good friend or some acquaintance that says, when you ask them what they do, oh, I'm a nurse. Well, do you love that? Well, no, it's good money. It's really not, but I'm just making up an example. it's decent, but it's not like you're going to get rich. And then they say things like that. Whenever anybody tells me that or shares that, I always go, ooh, okay, survival/ego mechanisms. But if you ask somebody, you're a nurse. What do you think about that? Oh, man, I was born to be a nurse. I was born to be a doctor. Yep, that's all I can think about. And money doesn't even come up in the equation when you talk with them. It's all about helping people. It's all about serving people. It's all about, man, I couldn't think of it doing anything else. And then you go, well, how much do you make? And they go, that's fine. Money's okay, but that's not what I'm in it for. See the difference. So this is where you have to get really honest with yourself if you want to flourish in effortless wealth. See, because there is an effortless ability in living out of the bigness of who you are. And when you live out of the bigness of who you really are, past ego, you'll say things like, well, why do we stop at paying the rent? Why don't we own an apartment complex? Why do we stop at rent? Why don't I just go ahead and take a leap of faith as I'm led and in the right alignment and calling? Take a leap of faith as God's showing me, man, maybe I need to rent this auditorium. I feel like the Lord's prompting me because I love food and I'm passionate about food to go ahead and rent a 5,000 square foot restaurant space. But don't put the cart before the horse. That's just a dream that's down the line. Just take the next step. And that's what I mean by living in the moment. And living in effortless wealth is taking the very next step that's in front of you in the alignment of what makes you come alive. Don't think about it in money terms. If you're doing a business, if you're doing a job, if you're doing a calling for money alone, chances are you're out of alignment, because God isn't going to lead us through money alone. Okay? Now, some callings come with wonderful amounts of money and others not so much. That's not the point. The point is, if you really want to live and thrive and live and move and have your being in the bigness of your spirit, man, aside from ego, then it doesn't matter how much money is attached. But you can think that big. If you're in alignment, you can say, well, why do I want to pay for the rent? That's survival mentality. That's ego talking. Let's move past that and say, wait a minute. We own all the apartment complexes in the world because, you know what? Ultimately, it's all his. It's all God's. Everything in the earth, the fullness thereof, right? Everybody's just on loan to these things. They're just stewards of them. Nobody owns anything. They think they do. That's what ego makes you think it does, is you own it. You don't own it. You're just borrowing it and stewarding it. So anyway, lot to say there, and I'm going to wrap this up in a minute because I've got to do these in parts. There's too much. But he just goes on in Deuteronomy to say, don't forget the Lord your God, okay? He just says, make sure that when you eat and are satisfied and build pleasant houses and settle in, see your herds and flocks flourish and more money come in. Watch your standard of living go up and up. Make sure you don't become so full of yourself and your things that you forget God, your God. Okay? So what he's saying is, don't let ego take over and run the show once you've been seeing the fullness of once you've been moving forward in the bigness of who you are. Don't let ego take over again, because that's what you came out of. Once you get free from the grips and the dominating opinions and the dominating demands of ego, you move past it, then the bigness of who you are in oneness with the Lord from eternity to eternity, the reality is you do own all the gold and the silver because you're a joint heir. So he's saying, when you move through into your creativity, taking it step by step in your aligned calling of the things that make you come alive, then you move forward step by step in it, and you start seeing the money roll in. You start seeing all of the material goods start to be attracted to you because you've now entered into the bigness of who you are. Don't let ego take over. Okay. In other words, if you are a podcaster or you're on YouTube, you're a YouTuber, for example, and you start blowing it up with hits and money starts coming in through the ads and all those things that YouTube pays for, that pays you back for, because you're clicking on the advertising part of that video and allowing ads to run, then you get a portion of those proceeds once you get up to a certain amount. You start getting to 1 million hits, man, you're starting to roll in some money, okay, just by getting those hits. So when those hits come in and you start getting thousands and thousands of viewers, don't let ego take over. Just keep enjoying the process of it unfolding in front of you. Keep enjoying the message you carry. Keep enjoying changing lives and serving those that are around you with love. Keep enjoying that and keeping the joy flowing, and don't go to the left or to the right. Just keep in that vein, keep in that flow. And when it starts to pile on you, all the good stuff starts being attracted to you because you're no longer in survival mode, you're living out of the bigness of love, then you won't have to worry about ego taking over and blowing up your head in fame, taking you out because your head got too big, in other words. Don't forget the Lord your God who made this stuff become a reality because you've joined in oneness with him and it started to become attracted to your life. See, the more you live in survival mentality, the more you repel things away from you. They keep moving away from your life and they're out of reach. The rent money and all the rest, things that you want and desire. Why? Because wants and desires plug up the magnetism, because wants and desires are found ultimately in ego. See, when you're in oneness with the shepherd, I shall not want anything. I don't have any wants or desires because I'm living in the now. I'm living in bigness with oneness with the shepherd. He can do anything he wants anytime he wants. He can bring me the goods anytime he wants because I'm living in oneness with him. And guess what? Magnetism starts happening and they start being attracted. Maybe not as fast as you want. maybe not what you want when you want it, but then again, that's what ego wants. So you're not living in ego anymore, so you're satisfied and content with whatever comes into your life because now you know your papa, your father, is taking care of your life. Make sense? Okay, we're going to end it right there. We'll pick it up again. We'll just call this part one of Effortless Wealth. Please pass this on. Share it with whoever you want. If you want to, thank you so much for listening. And remember that we're going to continue to bring you great messages on the podcast. Please comment, give us a thumbs up if you like it. If you don't, well, if you don't, you don't. That's okay. We're not moved by ego's demands of saying, oh my gosh, I have to have so many people listening to me. That's really narcissistic and egoic. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, love you much. Thanks for listening.